Clouds are heavy, the sky gets darker, and pretty soon there's going to be a storm. You like to go out to take a walk, but you don't want to take the chance. Now the storm has come with thunder, and it seems the world is ending. You have some always come back. You know that life is made of ups and downs. You want to be safe without a worry about the others getting cold. Now the rain is really pouring, and you're home without a worry. You don't think you could be sharing all your comforts with the others. You watch and wait, that's all you do, as if the world belonged to you.
This is Maurice Tanny from 77 El Diora, and you're listening to Radio Valencia.
Hey, what's the matter with that chest there?
Must be full of reefers.
Full of reefers?
Yeah, man.
You mean that chest high?
Sailing.
Sailing?
Lightly.
Get away from here.
Man, is that the reefer man?
That's the reefer man.
I believe he's lost his mind.
I think he lost his mind.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? If he says he swam from China, tell you South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that reefer
man.
Have you ever met funny reefer
man?
Have you ever met funny reefer
man?
If he says he walks the ocean, anytime he takes a notion, then you know you're talking to the reefer
man.
Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
Total protonic reversal. Protonic reversal.
Protonic reversal.
With Conan Neutron.
If you're looking for the very best in post-punk, punk rock, and indie rock that doesn't forget to, you know, actually rock, tune in to Protonic Reversal every Thursday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Radio Valencia. I talk to interesting guest musicians, play rad tunes, and we have more than a few laughs.
You know, I kind of know the sound man for Rob Zombie.
We get awesome, get deep, and we never forget to raise our fists up.
ladies and gentlemen, this is Wayne and Jane Hancock. You know what? When I'm in San Francisco, I listen to Radio Valencia. This is the best. Don't you ever forget it.
I want my baby back. Gotta have my baby back. I miss her oh so much. Can't live without her touch.
I don't hardly know where to begin. I remember we were cruising home from a Beatles concert. I'd had such a wonderful evening sitting there watching my baby screaming and tearing her hair out and carrying on. She was so full of life then. Well, we were about 3 miles from home when all of a sudden it started to rain. And I do mean rain. I couldn't hardly see nothing. Well, we kept driving for about another mile when all of a sudden I see this stalled car right smack in front of me. Well, I wasn't about to slam on the brakes because I didn't have none to start with. So I swerved to the left, and what do I see? Some mush head on a motorcycle heading right at us. And I knew at last, me and my baby were about to meet the leader of the... pack. Well, when I come to, I looked around, and there was the leader, and there was the pack, and over there was my baby, and over there was my baby, and way over there was my baby.
I want my baby back, gotta have my baby back.
It's been many months now since that fateful night, and you know something, I've tried. Believe me, I have tried, but I just can't make it without my baby. So, I've decided I'm gonna have her back one way or another. Oh, baby, I dig you so much. Hot dang, pay dirt.
Listen up, this is very important. Not all wizards are good.
My name is Voldemort, and I went to Hogwarts, but I left it for a darker side.
That sounds like him.
I gained a lot of power, and I gained a lot of strength, and then committed homicide.
Except for one kiss.
Now I'm back in the swing, and there's just one thing that I want for my very own. Cause I laugh and I chortle, but I won't be immortal till I get myself the Sorcerer's Stone.
Sorcerer's Stone.
Gonna use the stutter and teach a quarrel.
Stone.
Use the strength to take over the world.
Yeah.
Gonna see Lord Voldemort live forever with the Sorcerer's Stone.
That's a very, very Woo. Evil plan.
The god'll teach a name, Snapey Sneaky. As a snake, just slithering for the Slytherin team. They got the Mirror of Arrows set, displaying everybody's dreams.
They got a unique spell that Nikki Flamel gave to Hogwarts as a loan.
me once I get myself the Sorcerer's Stone.
Sorcerer's Stone.
Gonna use the stud and teach a quarrel. Use the strength to take over the world.
Yeah.
Gonna see Lord Voldemort live forever with the Sorcerer's Stone.
Hey, I know how.
Quidditch match!
Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, Harry, Hermione, Draco, and Ron search the dark forest in detention for a creature most beautiful, sure as you're born. Cause Voldemort drinks the blood of unicorns.
There's a bunch of little student preteen wizards who practice their magic tricks. They got a genuine Quidditch ball stadium for flying round on wooden sticks. They're no match for me, and as soon as we throw that three-headed dog a bone, he will still be sniffing, so the kids from Gryffindor can lead me to the Sorcerer's Stone.
Sorcerer's Stone. Gonna use the stud and teach a quarrel.
Stone.
Use the strength to take over the world. Gonna see Lord Voldemort live forever with the Sorcerer's Stone. Live forever with the Sorcerer's Stone.
For 8 of his 11 years, and his story is still widely told, how he battled with pure evil and he beat that Shrek-like troll while in the halls of Hogwarts. Through that forbidden third floor is the dust that once was Quirrell, former shell of Voldemort. And underneath, inscribed upon a broomstick made of wood, it says, "Beware of being the bad guy when there's nothing."
Anybody touch these fucking bags, I'll cut their fucking head off with a fucking axe. I'll fucking piss them.
Just turn away.
I'm writing the letter to Mother to tell her not to worry over me. I'm writing the letter to Mother to tell her I'm okay, you see. Camp Page, Korea, Sunday, October the 5th, 1975. Dear Mom, well, I guess I'll tell you all the death story of my ugly birthmark. When and how I got my birthmark off. Well, it all started when the swimming pool here was open. Every time I went down there to get a good tan, everybody would look at my birthmark. So for a while, I let it go. It really didn't bother me that much. But I kept looking at it in the mirror, and I just got so fed up with it. So one day, while I was working out, I talked to a friend of mine who happened to be an army doctor. And so I asked him about cutting off something like a birthmark on your body. And he replied that the army wouldn't do nothing like that, and that it was against army policy to ever cut something like that off your body. Well, I had told myself that there's no way of doing it, and I had to live with it. And I convinced myself to just live with my birthmark. I said God put it on there, and so it'll stay there. Well, I went for about a week, and everybody asked me, what's that on your back? Until I got so tired of it. So I talked to a one Sergeant Joe, who told me he knows someone in Hangchang that would cut it off. Sergeant Joe is one of our Korean MPs that live here on post. And you know what? He sure can speak good English. So the next day, me and him went to the hospital. It didn't look like a hospital. And he and I talked to the doctor there. You know what? The doc knew real good English, too. He went to school in the U.S., so he knew of what I wanted. Well, he just talked to me for a while and just asked me a few questions and told me to come back the next morning at 10. The next night, I was so scared that I wasn't going to do it. But the next morning, I got up, got dressed, then ate breakfast, and boy, was I scared. I just thought that if someone found out I did it, boy, would I be in trouble. But I kept right on thinking about surprising you all when I come home and didn't have no birthmark. And I even surprised me. It was my one dream to have it off. So I went to the doc at about 10 o'clock and he was there. We went in his office and he talked to me a little more and looked at my birthmark a little more. Then we went into the next room where three fine good-looking nurses gave me a physical before going into the operating room. Then I told the doc, Doc Jams, that I wanted to be fully asleep before ever seeing a butcher knife. But seems he had other plans of his own in his mind. The nurses gave me a shot. Boy, that just about killed me. And I thought that it was to put me to sleep. So I was expecting to fall asleep. But then all of a sudden the doctor said, let's go in here. So I got up. And all I had on was my jeans. They didn't even wheel me in the operating room. And guess what? It reminded me of when I worked at Colburn's meat shop. Really, there was just a long table in the center of the room. And another doctor with this rag around his mouth, I was a-fixin' to turn and run around. But I walked to the table and he told me to lay on my left side, so I did. First, about seven good-looking nurses came into the room. I didn't even care to look at them. All I was worrying about was that stupid guy laying on a table, meaning me. Well, the doctor put a red tracer on my back. He said he had to draw a diagram of how my skin ran. So when he sews me up, he wouldn't go as crooked as a snake. Then after he got finished playing around with the skin on my back, he said, this is going to hurt a little. I looked around, and boy, what a needle. It had to be at least 9 inches long. He stuck it right in the middle of my birthmark. See, all this time I thought I was supposed to go to sleep. But not a thing like that happened. I even tried to help myself to go to sleep, and that didn't even work. The doctor said it was to deaden the area of my birthmark, but I still felt him touch my back. Then all of a sudden I felt something running down my back, so I figured it was blood from him cutting my birthmark. Well, he pulled and he tugged, and finally something happened. The shot that he gave me was wearing off,
and a couple of times I felt him cut my skin. And it got so bad that I balled up my fist, and so help me, if that other doctor and nurses hadn't held me down, I would have smacked him upside his face. Mom, Dad, believe me, I went through some kind of pain. After he sewed me up and wiped the blood off my back, he said I was finished. Boy, was I glad. Then I got up and I looked around me. And was I dizzy. I looked and I saw about a sheet full of blood. Not that much, but there was a lot of rags with blood. Then he picked up something out of the pan. And guess what? That's the first time I seen my birthmark in person, looking at me square in the face. And boy, was it ugly. I asked him how many stitches did it take, and he said 21. Then I walked to his office, and he told me how much. But I really didn't care, just as long as it was over. It cost me 40,000 wons, and in American money, it would be $80. Well, I wasn't pleased with the price, but I sure didn't want him to put it back on. He then gave me an injection shot and pain pills, and I went home to Camp Page, where I went to work at 3 o'clock. The operation took 1 hour and 45 minutes and $80 of my money. But one important thing is, it took the birthmark off. I went back for 5 days, getting bandages changed and more injection shots, which a pretty good looking nurse gave them to me. After a week and a half, he took the stitches out, and I haven't gone there since, and I won't. Well, now it's okay and I feel okay too. I'll send you all a picture when I develop my film, okay? Now you all know, and I told you all, I'd come back home different, didn't I? Love to all, your son Gail. P.S. You know what, Mom? Now I'm starting to worry about the scar on my back. I'm writing a letter to Mother to tell her not to worry over me. I'm writing a letter to Mother to tell her I'm okay, you see.
My style can't be duplicated or recycled.
I am a traveler. A wonder.
I'm not a disc jockey. I'm a human radio station.
Dante's Hot Tub with your host, Juan Rapido.
What a bummer!
On Radio Valencia, Wednesday, 8 to 10.
Countdown, take me away!
Thank you very much. You've been a delightful audience.
White and she was white as only statues are. 50 years they stood there looking stupid by a jar. One night in mid-August when the moonlight got too strong, they climbed off their pedestal and then they sang this song. Past the gun emplacement and the bones as white as bleach, through the rats and ivy till they came out on a beach, out into the ocean till they disappeared from view. Honey, when it gets you, there's just nothing you can do. Underwater moonlight sets the body free. Underwater moonlight, baby, you and me. Underwater moonlight, underwater moonlight. He was pink and she was pink, and onward they did row. Didn't see the giant squid. It was fairly slow. When they hit the bottom, they were well and truly dead.
Jackson and they rode back home instead. Underwater moonlight, take your baby down. Underwater moonlight, watch your baby drown with love. And in the moonlight, underwater moonlight.
It's a hit, it's a hit, it's a hit, it's a hit, it's a hit.
Cuckoo. 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock rock, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock rock, 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock rock, we're gonna rock, we're gonna rock, we're gonna R-O-C-K rock around the clock tonight. Cuckoo. When the clock strikes 2 and 3 and 4 and the band slows down, we'll yell for more, we're gonna rock around the clock tonight, gonna keep on rocking till the broad daylight. Gonna rock, gonna rock. I said R-O-C-K, rock around the clock tonight. Cuckoo. When the chimes ring 5 and 6 and 7, I'll be going up in 7. Hey, I'm gonna rock around the clock tonight, gonna keep on rocking till the broad daylight. We're gonna rock, gonna rock. I said R-O-C-K, rock around the clock tonight. Cuckoo. When it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 2, I'll be going strong, and so will you. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight, gonna keep on rocking till the broad daylight. We're gonna rock, gonna rock. I said R-O-C-K, rock around the clock tonight. Cuckoo. When the clock strikes 12, we'll cool off, dance, start rocking around the clock again. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight, gonna keep on rocking till the broad daylight. We're gonna rock,
beautiful, beautiful.
Say now that.
Bill Haley in the comments. How about that? You get a better job.
That's quite. You know, he sang well the last time, but he was a little nervous. And now he's a pro. Now he's used to these cameras. You know, right? What have you been doing lately? I hear you've been doing some gigs around town, right? Where have you sang? I know you've been a couple places because your mother told me. I was going to go to one place, but I had something going myself. But where you been singing at, Michael?
I've been singing at with my my new piano player at West Side on we've been doing that for a long time and
But you've been singing several places around town, right?
Yeah, and we were trying to get it
you
on.
You know what you need? You need a guitar. With singing that kind of music, you got to have a guitar, you know, and really shake it up a little bit, you know, huh?
Michael, you want to introduce your piano player?
Who's your piano player?
My piano player is Clark McLean.
Clark McLean?
Yeah.
Come here, Clark. You've been playing for Mike for quite a while?
We've been working on some of these things for quite a while, right.
Yeah, he's going to go places. What an improvement, really. It's been a beautiful improvement.
I think he's really making big strides now.
Very
right.
good.
I like that rock around the clock. You did a very good job on that.
Well, thank you, Michael, for coming down. Even if you was a little late, you got here. That's a trooper for you, really.
That's right.
So is that why your nickname was General Butt Naked?
Seek professional help.
Even Papua New Guineans from the coast find life in the highlands pretty wild.
If the enemy dares to invade even an inch, the Revolutionary Armed Forces, where the whole country has been turned into an impregnable fortress, and the whole people have been equipped with arms, will smite aggressors mercilessly.
Nose hair, lint blend.
Este es el programa número uno.
With Karen Carpenter and Dr. Fiasco, Wednesdays, from 10 p.m. to midnight on Radio Valencia.